Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
There it is.
Oh, yeah. Woo-hoo. Showtime, people.
All right. It is showtime. Welcome, America. We are here. The month of September is upon us. Man, officially, the football season is starting tomorrow. We had college football getting kicked off. We had a lot of things. Obviously, the baseball was going on, too. We got FIBA. Basketball was going on. We got a lot of things happening, too. Baseball from, you know, just college football. I mean, again, like you said, we're excited to get this party started. So without further ado, we want to go ahead and check in with the fellas. Obviously, shout out to JQ, who's not able to join us, and we hope that his wife, Miss Erica, feels better too. So JQ is on dad duty there. But again, so we do, man. So let's check in with everyone. The fellas, I'm going to give it to you, Gary, because I'll make sure that Rob is ready to go. But Gary, how you feeling this evening, sir? Can you hear me, Gary?
You're cutting out.
Okay. Rob, can you hear me? Am I cutting out?
I can hear you just fine, yeah.
No, I don't know, Gary. How you feeling this evening, man?
Man, doing great, man. Ready to get this party started. Make you do what you do, baby. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Gary, I don't know, maybe your AirPods, because I don't know. Rob seems to
be... No, they're fully charged, and I can hear you just fine right now, so let's just get this party started. I'm doing great. Haven't had any dinner yet, because I've been at the tax accountant's office with Curtis's estate for the last 4 hours.
Oh, wow.
It's a process.
It's only 8 o'clock out there where you are.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
It's only 8 o'clock out there where you are.
Yeah. That's late for dinner, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a senior citizen. We have dinner at 4 o'clock.
Oh, man.
Hey, so...
That's a late lunch for me.
In a weird way...
See, Rob, when you're a young man, you got your pants down below your waist... You know, and then when you're middle-aged, you know, they're up at your hip. And then when you're my age, they're right below your chest, right where they belong. As your pants go up, your dinner time goes down. That's how it works.
Oh, my goodness. What an analogy.
It's a great life.
That's hilarious. So Curtis's last name was McDaniel, right? Is that correct, Gary? His last name was McDaniel or no?
Yes.
Okay.
McDaniel.
We're going to have to talk offline because I received an interesting Facebook message from somebody named Christine that was asking about Curtis, which I thought was very interesting. So I'll have to definitely reach out to you because it was on the Facebook page from the message page from Talking Sports with the 12th Man. So I was just like, it was interesting that I'm just looking at this now. It's been over like a year, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. So I don't know. We'll talk about that later. Maybe Curtis had a couple of fans we didn't know about, but it's just whenever you mentioned that, it kind of like jogged my memory for this. But good stuff. Let's get ready to start the show, gentlemen. Again, the numbers to call into the show, it's always the same number, the 424-243-9519. Looks like Gary's going to call back in. Follow us on the to no, follow us on X. You know, I always got to say that again. It's not Twitter
That's
anymore,
so weird.
Rob. It's X, man. You know what I'm saying? And then, which is at the number 12, twelve fan sports. And then, last but not least, we're on Facebook, facebook.com, talking sports with 12 fan. And we're going to get Gary back in right now. So hopefully, Gary's in. He can hear us, all that good jazz. And he didn't talk junk about the Lakers. So again, we got to make sure that blog talk is nice to Gary. So, let's get this party started. As we mentioned, the NFL is tomorrow, right? And, you know, if you're in fantasy, you're kind of curious what's going to happen with Travis Kelce. And we're going to do some NFL predictions right out the gate, and we're going to start with the Lions and the Chiefs. They're playing at Arrowhead. And I just finished watching the series called Quarterback, and huge fan of Patrick Mahomes. I don't know if you had a chance to watch that. It's a great series. Kind of talks about Marcus Mariota, Kirk Cousins, and Patrick Mahomes, and just all the work that he puts into. And right now, this is interesting because if Travis Kelce is out, that means that they're going to have to depend on a lot of new receivers. But, you know, you keep trying to – hopefully that you won't discount Patrick Mahomes, but this will be an interesting challenge for him. Even if you're looking at the upstart line. So, Rob, I'm going to start with you, my guy. And what see you on some early predictions for this particular game?
You know, I'm having a tough time with this Lions-Chiefs game. I mean, obviously, I can only think that Andy Reid is going to be smart with Travis Kelce here and hold him out of this game. And, and then when you look at the fact that Chris Jones is still holding out. I'm going to go out on a limb here and pick the Lions on the road. And on opening night, I know Patrick Mahomes can make up for a lot of players. But, man, when your number one wide receiver is Marcus Valdez-Scantling after Travis Kelce, you know, you have to be worried about that. But my only thoughts, like I said, is, you know, Andy Reid will be smart here. Hey, I have Travis Kelce on one of my fantasy teams. So, even though I would much have him in the lineup, I much would rather have him for the long term for the season. So I'm even saying, even from a fantasy standpoint, hold the guy out so we can have him for the rest of the season, right? So I'm going to go on a limb here and pick the Lions on the road.
Okay. Bold prediction.
Wow. Well, you know, with these are the games that are tough because these first games pretty much what can keep you in that game is that dynamic quarterback make everybody look good. So with that said, I'm going to go with Kansas City at home. And I think that this week one will be the start of the Lions have got a real, you know, they're hyped up right now. You know, they made some good moves and they're doing a lot of things. Stuff is good. And I think that's their weakness. And so I think that the hot Lions is going to start trickling away as of week one with the week one loss to Kansas City.
Yeah, good call, Gary. The 6.5 underdog, if you will. So that's a pretty solid situation. And they're playing at Arrowhead. So, you know, again, this is – that's, you know, you're giving the home team kind of that advantage, if you will. I do think – that, Rob, you're right, that you are catching the Chiefs early, but I just don't know if the Lions know how to win just yet, right? So they made a lot of improvements on that team. We talked about the improvements as far as the draft with Jahmyr Gibbs and, you know, Jack Campbell, a lot of linebacking help. I think it's going to be a lot closer than we anticipate, though. I definitely think that it's going to be like a definitely less than 3 points. So I'm predicting the Kansas City Chiefs to pull this out. But it's going to be close, a lot closer because of, as you mentioned, Rob, there's a lot of challenges. Patrick Mahomes is going to do just enough to win, if you will, too. But It's going to be a scary game for the Chiefs right now, especially if Travis Kelce is out, man. So I'm predicting like a 27-24 game, something like that. So I think it's going to be a close game than we think. But that's what I'm saying. Only I give the Chiefs the advantage only because of Arrowhead too. But the Lions, they made a lot of improvements. The next game we want to talk about is the
Travis Kelce's healthy, if he's healthy, I think the Chiefs win the game. But it's the way it's trending.
Absolutely.
If he's not, I'm picking the Lions.
Good stuff. No, I mean, you want to catch them early, right? Now is the time to get them, right, at the very first game of the season, too, because everyone's going to be a little rusty,
You know, a team like the Lions beating the Chiefs, you're right, it's going to have to be early, and it's going to have to be just but the Chiefs are just knocking too much rust off right now, kind of getting into the flow of things. Maybe they can beat it. Problem with it is it being an Arrowhead and that being one of the loudest, stadiums, in Seattle and in New Orleans, those stadiums like that, they're loud. And it's hard. Penalties, false starts, things like that. That's what takes. We'll see how disciplined the Lions are going in Week One against the Chiefs.
The second game, another very, very interesting matchup, right? So you've got the 49ers at the Steelers. We talked about Joey Bosa signing that really huge deal today, making the highest paid defensive player in the league. Now, you got Brock Purdy right now coming off of that injury, so we're not sure how he's going to fare. But you do have a pretty solid 49er team that what does travel is a running game. So, you got that situation. You've got Kenny Pickett that's making his start against a very, very highly talented 49er defense. So it is at the Steelers, right? So what say you about this? I don't know if you want to take this, Gary, you kind of throw it to Rob, but this is interesting right out the gate, right, for both teams, So what say you? I don't know if you want to take this, Gary, you want to give it to Rob. I'll give you an option here.
What's the point spread on this? I haven't even looked at the point spreads.
I'll look it up really quick and see why you're doing that. Yeah. Go ahead.
And what travels well, just like you said, is the running game. But they're exceptionally good on the with their linebackers and their line. Players are weaker is in the secondary. So depending on the game plan and how the Steelers do, and that's another place that's hard to win. And that's another place that I think that the 49ers are going to win this game, but I don't think it's going to be an easy game for them to win. And it wouldn't surprise me if, the Steelers, in week one, shocked week one and upset the 49ers. But I think I'm going with the 49ers, but I think it's going to be a close game.
Nice.
Hey, I'm going with another somewhat of a mild upset here. I'm going to go with the Steelers at home here in this matchup. I know the 49ers just signed Nick Bosa today. I think there's a chance that he plays in this game, obviously, with them getting that done. I'm not totally sold on Brock Purdy just yet. I think this is going to be a real hard-nosed, hard-hitting football game. It's going to be really close. Both teams play extremely physical. And also got a few concerns with the 49ers on an offensive line, losing Mike McGlinchey as well. Obviously, Trent Williams is a rock on that left side for the 49ers, but that wrestling line has had some question marks here in the preseason. And the Pittsburgh, one thing's for sure, they're going to come with a great defense. And also, all signs indicate that Kenny Pickett and George Pickens is going to be a heck of a combination for the Steelers. It looked like both of them have made tremendous strides here going into year two for those two guys. So I want to go with a close game, 2017 Steelers at home.
Let you know, Gary, 49ers are favored by 2.5. It's a really, really tight, like almost 3 points if you will, too, as far as that point spread, too. So even Vegas realizes how close to the game right out the gate it is for both squads, too. So interesting. Okay, Rob, we got to talk about the Eagles, at the Patriots. And on on paper, it seems like this should be a pretty easy game for the Eagles. Right now, Jalen Hurts, this is his redemption tour, if you will. Mac Jones, we don't know what the hell is up with him. Who's the backup quarterback? Braley Zapp, I don't know. So we know that Bill Belichick is considered supposedly a genius on the defensive side. But, should have, could have, would have. What's happening? Do you think this is going to be easy as it seems on paper for the Eagles or what?
Oh, I think the Patriots are going to be competitive. I mean, a Bill Belichick team coach is they're going to be competitive, but I like the Eagles here. And I think going into the season, the Eagles, Gary's favorite team, is the best team in the league going into the season here. So, no, I like the Eagles on the road here. I'm going to go 27-17 Philadelphia on the road. When you look at Jalen Hurts, when you look at those weapons he has on the perimeter, Dallas Goedert at tight end, offensive line. They're talented on defense, but they have five new starters on defense. So if there is one concern about the Eagles, that could be one concern that I have. Even though they're talented, they are going into the season with five new starters on the defensive side of the football. But I still think they will be good enough going on the road here and beat the Patriots.
3.5 favorites for the Eagles for this one. Go ahead, Gary.
Well, I don't, I want them both to lose. so I'm.
Zero,
since
zero,
the Eagles
five.
Are in my division, I want them to lose. I don't think they're going to lose. I think they're too talented. And I think they'll go in and I think Bill Belichick and his, abilities will keep it close, but I think that'll be it. I think that'll be as far as it goes. He can keep it for a while, but I'm too much talent on the Eagles' side of the football all the way around that there's no way they're going to.
Okay, Gary, and
he may be playing for his job this year. I'm calling in the show.
Yeah, I agree, Gary. I think that it may start off a little close, and then I think the Eagles will pull away, unfortunately, because they're in your division. But I just don't know enough about the Patriots. I don't know if they're a running game. I mean, we don't know what's happening with what's happening with Mac Jones. That defense, I think, can cause a couple turnovers for the young quarterback. So there's a lot of things that are happening. We do want to give Bill Belichick some flowers because he is a good defensive coach. He may confuse Jalen for a little while, but I think the Eagles will definitely pull away from that too. Let me get Naj on. Naj just joined in as well. Hold on, Naj. I was looking at you. My apologies, Naj. I didn't check the queue there, man. So welcome aboard, my guy. I'm glad you texted me.
Oh, that's all good, brother. Well, what's up, y'all? You think I was going to run away from that Colorado pick? Nope, I show up.
We love it. He's ready to go. Hey, we're gonna get to that for sure after we go through a couple of NFL predictions, man, because you sound like Deion ready to kind of let the media people know, man, y'all done picked up, y'all done messed up, man. So we're going to talk about that soon. But we're going through a couple of these predictions, if you will. We just wrapped up the Eagles at the Patriots. And now we're going to go to the next one. We're going to go to the Dolphins at the Chargers. And we'll get you in this one, too, Naj, in a quick second, too. So just to let you know, this is actually in Inglewood, California. The Chargers are favored by 2.5, if you will. So right out the gate, this is an interesting test. I don't know if the Dolphins played that well in the preseason. But maybe, Mike McDaniel's holding back. We talked about things that do travel, running games, defense. Is Tua, he's coming out the gate, man. So, and then we talk about some coaches on the hot seat, Rob. I think Brandon Staley's on the hot seat for the Chargers because
Absolutely.
You have all of that talent.
Yep.
And, this is
Absolutely.
The time for Herbert to kind of go to that next level, too. So This is a big game, I think, right out of the opening week. So what say you? I think it's bigger for the Chargers than it is for the Dolphins, but equally, you know, each game can be that. So what say you as far as this game out the gate, Rob?
Hey, I like the Chargers in this game at home. Yeah, I mean, you said it. Brandon Staley is on a hot seat this season. There's no question about it. This Chargers team does not at least make the second round of the playoffs this year or at least compete with the Chiefs, then he's out the door, right? And, I mean, this team is two. They probably, when you look at their overall roster, they're more talented than the Chiefs. I mean, well, now the Chiefs have the better quarterback. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes. And that's going to offset a lot of, you know, a lot of other deficiencies on your ball club. But this Charger team is loaded. When you look at the depth that they have at the running back position, the wide receiver position, offensive line,
Quentin Johnson, defensive line,
the secondary. I mean, this is a talented roster that has clearly underachieved both the last couple of years in the NFL. So this is definitely a make-or-break season for Brandon, their head coach. You know, these are both two talented teams, both the Chargers and the Dolphins, but I'm going to go ahead and pick the home team in this matchup and go with the Chargers.
Gary?
I think Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator for the Chargers, is going to really want to, you know, show some week one against the potential, you know, AFC playoff team. I'm going with the Chargers in this. I think they're going to be aggressive. I think they're going to have a decent plan of attack, and they're at home. So I'd go, if it were the other way around and the Dolphins were at home, I think I would go with the Dolphins. But in this case, I'm going to go with the Chargers.
Okay, good call. Naj, my guy, on you.
Who's having a funny season? Yeah, I agree with everything said. I think because it's the first game, the travel part doesn't matter like it normally would for Miami going that far away. Fangio as a DC, I think, is going to be an underrated pickup for Miami. I think that's going to be a factor. And then the Chargers are basically a run-funnel defense. They let you run, and they try to take away what you do passing. Problem is, Miami really likes to play that 49er-style physical grinding game. And if Mostert pops one, man, the Chargers could be in for a day because you're not guarding Tariq and Waddle, period. You're just going to try to limit them.
Ooh.
And, yeah, so I'm taking the Dolphins in the points, man. I just think McDaniel and company are going to be really good. So I'm going to take the other way.
Oh,
wow.
Give me those 3 points.
Yeah, this game, you know, it is interesting because this is the situation where Rob is talking about underachievement, right? So I do like what you said, Naj, as far as, you know, they do have a lot of weapons, the Dolphins. So it does depend on Tua. I mean, it's a really tight, you know, game right out the gate, too. So, I can kind of lean towards the Dolphins, if you will, too. I mean, I just wonder if Brandon Staley's job, he's going to have them ready to go. I mean, it's very, very tight, man. So, I can kind of lead, if anything, it may be like a Dolphins, like maybe like a 20-17 type of game, something like that, too, or even, you know, one of those close situations, too, where one player not, man. So, because like I said, Brandon Staley's job's on the line, man. Are they ready to play? This is going to be the make or break for the Chargers out the gate. Gary, there you go, my guy. You got the Cowboys at the Giants. And believe it or not, Cowboys, again, they're another favorite, you know, 2.5. Maybe we're going to let Jerry Clark take this one. I also have Mike McCarthy on the hot seat for a different reason, not because of underachievement like the Chargers, but the fact that you've got this talent, my guy. The Cowboys should be going a lot further in the playoffs. So I've got him on a hot seat for that situation where you got to take the team to the next level, my guy. So if Dan Quinn, the guy, if he don't go as far as in the second round of the playoffs, this is an opportunity for him to kind of push down the team. So you have the first go for this one.
I also have McCarthy on the hot seat on my on my list of five. You know, the Cowboys have done really well against the Giants these last few years. Dak has got a phenomenal record against them. In this game here, week one, hyped up, Sunday night football, Cowboys and Giants at New York. I'm going to go with my team. I think it's going to be a nail biter. I don't think it's going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination. And
it might end
up being a defensive stop, you know, whether it's holding, you know, Barkley, you know, to 75 yards or less, something like that. It's going to be, I think, it's going to be involved to get this win against the Giants week one. I'm going to go 31-27.
Nice. Okay. Rob?
I'm going to go with the Giants at home in this one. I'll go over the close game here. I'm going to go with the Giants 23-20. I think the Giants, they have an opportunity to improve on what they've done on last year. And I know they won a lot of close games on last year. And I actually thought the Giants were a little overrated on last year. But they have made some reinforcements to the offensive line. They've actually gotten some more weapons on the perimeter, you know, picking up Darren Waller, of course, from the Raiders. Now, he was hurt last year with the Raiders, so we'll see how healthy he is, too. And I actually think they made some improvements on defense. That being said, I think the Cowboys are an extremely talented team as well. But I think the Giants win this game, a real close game, 23-20 at home. I still think overall the Cowboys are a better team, but I'm going to go with the road team. I mean, the home team here.
Okay. Let me see here. Yeah, they are playing in Jersey. So the Cowboys are favorites,
yeah.
Though. So, Gary, just something that – but, you know, we talk about it. Is Saquon going to be – I mean, we keep trying to shut down Saquon and make Daniel Jones beat you, right? That's the question, right? You know, so – you know, even though they did get Darren Waller, shout out to my Georgia Tech guy, obviously, but is Daniel Jones enough to kind of beat the Cowboys? That's the question that you have to ask in your head, man. So, you know, again, I'm leaning the Cowboys in this one. But like I said, I think it's going to be close. All these games will be closer because they're right out the gate for week one. All right, good stuff, guy. Narcy's calling right back, so we got to keep an eye on that, and then let's keep this going here. Let's talk about the Raiders restructure really quickly, Rob, and then we'll talk about some NFL coaches that are on the hot seat, and we'll give Nas time to call in to talk about TCU and what's going on with Colorado. But what about this quick restructure for Jimmy G? Rob, go ahead.
There's still a few teams in the NFL that have to get under the salary cap by kickoff this weekend, right? And the Raiders was one of those teams. I know the Ravens were another and a few others. So the Raiders have to restructure some contracts or release some players in order for them to get under the salary cap. And they restructured Jimmy Garoppolo's deal, and it cleared up about $17 million in cap space, got them under the cap in time for their opening game this weekend. Now, the Ravens have to do the same thing. I think they did the same thing with Marlon Humphrey to get back under the cap. And so that's just basically all that was just giving them an opportunity to keep their roster intact as well as get under the cap. And they freed up enough money to even possibly be able to have the flexibility to make a few moves during the season if need be as well.
Well, and as we see these teams, you know, make these maneuvers and restructure contracts and all this stuff, it seems like for the, you know, they really know how to work this system. I'll tell you what, all these teams do. Some of them better than others, but boy, to be able to get teams who at some point are so over the salary cap, or if they make a big splash and sign a free agent and you're wondering how are they going to be able to afford it, they always seem to move stuff around just to make everything work. So good for them.
I got you. Yeah, I mean, like I said, we're still kind of looking at a lot of situations with the Raiders. I mean, you know, again, we talk about another coach that, you know, outside looking in possibly, you know, Josh McDaniels, I kind of had him on the outside for the hot seat, but, you know, it's the Raiders, man. I mean, this may be at some point you're going to have to start winning for them too. So, you know, I don't know what the hell they got. You know, Josh McDaniels always wanted to get at least a veteran quarterback, so he got his wish. We'll see what's going to happen with them going into the season. So let's talk about really quickly the NFL coaches on the hot seat. And I know we mentioned two of them out the gate. I'm going to throw some names out there and then you kind of fill in the gaps as far as that. I've got Ron Rivera on the hot seat for the Commanders. He's entering him the fourth season. He has yet to have a winning record in Washington. So they keep on missing the playoffs. This is the year, man. So, and I know he made some big moves getting Eric Bieniemy, the former offensive coordinator for the Chiefs. You know, this is a signal that, you know, he's trying everything that he's trying to pull straws because his job is in jeopardy. So this is a tough move, man. If Eric Bieniemy kind of goes to this Kansas City type offense where it's like more finesse, I don't know if that fits the old school Commanders, a.k.a. Redskins type of style, because you were used to having them just run the ball, just having the hogs up front. So it's kind of a change in identity. So, again, if you're an old school fan of the Red Commanders, maybe you're like, I almost said it. Maybe you're like, man, I'm good if this guy leaves. I got the second coach, Dennis Allen, for the Saints. You know, Rob, we talked about this. They have a very talented squad. You know, this is kind of a prove-it situation for him. They definitely took a step back. No one's going to be Sean Payton, Rob. So, but again, at least you want them to kind of hold serve with the talent that they have on that roster. But I've got him on the hot seat. Much as I hate to say, I'm rooting for the brother, but Todd Bowles, man, I don't know, man. This is going to be a situation for you, man. The Bucks, he is not in a good situation right now. So he is the hot seat. That's definitely one of the warmer seats. I'm going to do a quick shout-out to Kevin Stefanski for the Browns. You know, obviously the Deshaun Watson situation, he had a year. See what happens with him. And Robert Saleh from the Jets. You have a lot of talent getting Aaron Rodgers, you know, supposedly talk about him. But you have got to perform this season after you got rid of the experiment, which is Zach Wilson.
Yeah, very similar list. You know, I probably have to add a few names on there. I had nine guys, actually. You talked about Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera has been right at about 500, you know, most of his career with the Commanders, and they just haven't been able to get over the hump. I know that he got to the playoffs a few years ago with Taylor Heineke, and they were like 7-8-1 or something like that, and he made it to the playoffs with a quick exit. But, yeah, he's definitely on a hot seat. And he's got a young quarterback, too, so that's tough. You know, to be in a hot seat with a guy, second year, fifth-round pick, Sam Howell. But he's got some weapons on the perimeter. You know, they could have as good as wide receiver duo as any team in the league. They expected to be good on defense. But right now, both, you know, experts have them finish last in that division, and that's not going to cut it with this new ownership group. So he's going to have to find a way to have to at least win 9 to 10 games and make it to the playoffs for him to save his job, in my opinion. The next guy I have on the list is Arthur Smith of the Falcons. He's going to his third year. He hasn't made the playoffs yet. It's a fact.
Oh, what you?
I mean, obviously, he hasn't been. He's got the Falcons have spent a lot of money this offseason on that defense. They've got a lot of weapons on offense. And similar to Ron Rivera, it's tough to be on the hot seat with a young quarterback. But ultimately, the Falcons spend a lot of money for him to have some success this season. And then Mike McCarthy, we talked about it. And even Mike McCarthy, this is a tough one. I mean, he's definitely been, even though he's been taking a lot of grief here, he has clearly been an upgrade over Jason Garrett. You know, Jason Garrett was barely making 500 teams. Mike McCarthy has got 2 12-win seasons in a row here. He's a more experienced head coach. He's clearly been an upgrade over Jason Garrett, but yet he's still on the hot seat, and that's just life of being a Cowboys coach, right? You talked about Dennis Allen. Similar to the Falcons, the Saints have spent a lot of money They went out and got a quarterback. They paid Derek Carr $150 million. So you can't say that's your excuse anymore. You know, last year having Andy Dalton at the quarterback position, right? So, you know, I said it on last week's show, if Dennis Allen doesn't win this division and go deep in the playoffs, he should be fired. I mean, it's that simple. Because they haven't spent a lot of money, not only at the quarterback position, but some other positions this year as well. We talked about Brandon Staley, Todd Bowles, I agree with as well. and he went 8-9 with Tom Brady last year, and now he's got Baker Mayfield now. Brady was a shell of himself last year, but Bowles is definitely on the list. Josh McDaniels, I have him on the list, the second year. Kevin Stefanski, he's got Deshaun Watson for a full year now. So he's got to be able to get it done, right? And Robert Saleh, similar to the Falcons and Saints and Jets, have made a lot of roster moves, a lot of improvements. They went out and got Aaron Rodgers, Dalvin Cook. I mean, they're expecting them to – I don't know if they're expecting them to win a division, but they're expecting them to compete for the division.
Competitive.
Sure.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, a lot of the same names I have. You know, I kind of feel bad for Ron Rivera with, you know, even though he's with the team that's in my division, the dreaded, you know, but he's done with a lot less talent than at least, I think probably than all the other teams in the NFC over his time with Washington, and then dealing with his own personal health issues and stuff. I just kind of feel bad for the guy. I think if I were a coach like that and I were Rivera and I had a young quarterback, and man, I'd be going in fourth and four, five, and I'm going for it. I got to get me some games. I've got to get some momentum going. You know, you guys talked about, you know, the Chargers underperforming, and, you know, Brandon Staley is their coach. I think he's definitely on the hot seat. I've got Mike McCarthy, who has had, you know, a playoff win and two back-to-back 12-6 about where they anticipate the Cowboys will be this year, barring injuries and that sort of thing. But still should be on the hot seat. You know, it shouldn't take you that long into your coaching career to be able to manage a game. Now he's managing the offense, so I hope he's got someone to help him with the timeouts. Todd Boyles, of course, Kevin Stefanski, Cleveland.
Yep.
But the one that I've got in there for my number five is Bill Belichick. The last 3 years without Tom Brady, he's 25-25, which is what his career is without Brady. And it is no surprise to me that he's not the genius that everybody thought he was because bailed him out. I'm not saying he didn't have good game plans, but there's a lot of coaches that have good game plans, and then you got a quarterback that's not Tom Brady, and you're not looking that good even though you had a good game plan. So Bill Belichick's number five for me. Walk his ass out the door.
So you're saying
well, you know what?
If you, Rob, or Dodge and myself would coach the Patriots, if we had Tom Brady, we'd be just as good. Is that what you're trying to tell me? We'd be geniuses? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I think that's what he's trying to say.
Had Tom Brady. If Rob, and Nod were coaching the Patriots, and we had Tom Brady, would we look like geniuses? I guess was the question. So you're saying yes, probably the case too. Yeah.
Absolutely. I could have won with Tom Brady.
Well, you know, Gary, that's an interesting point. I know Dre and myself didn't have Bill Belichick on our list, but actually that's legitimate, right? I've actually heard a report that if Belichick and the Patriots are not successful this year, it could be a mutual agreement to move him to another position in the organization. Not necessarily fire him, but move him into some kind of advisor role or to another position in the organization, and then bring a new head coach in there. So I have heard that kind of conversation is possible if they don't have the kind of success that they're hoping for this season.
Nosh, I don't know if you heard that, man.
Who would you give a coach like that? Let's say they move Belichick into some advisory position and they've got to go out and get a coach. Would you give his son the reins, or would you go out and get somebody outside? And would you have him cut his mullet?
Hey, man, if they give Mullet's son that job, it's going to be a very stern letter written from the Fritz Pollard Alliance and a lot of other people like, yo, what are you doing? And then at the same time, following Belichick, boy, that sounds like a terrible job. Follow Belichick and you got Mac Jones or whatever quarterback you draft. Ooh, that sounds bad. I don't know, man. I think old Bill is going, you know, I think he'll pull it off this year. I think the team will be better than what people expect because that defense is really, really good. It's just a question of if Mac Jones is at least a game manager. Is that Pro Bowl fake first season, you know, an anomaly, or is that who he is? That's the thing we got to kind of figure out this year. They don't have many good weapons offensively. So, you know, they're trying to win some 23-17 type games, but that defense is legit, and Ramondre Stevenson is a really exceptional back. So there's enough there for us to know if Mac Jones was for real or not.
Smoke and mirrors, Nosh. Smoke and mirrors. We'll see how that plays out, man. That's what I'm talking about. He's trying to like, I'm a good defensive coach. Whoa, did you see it? Oh, you know, we'll see. Really quickly, we're going to talk about the top five backup QBs. And we're going to talk about we waited for you to jump back on, Nas, to talk about Colorado, man. So this is the top five backup. And the reason that the way that I'm interpreting this is because of something happens to the top quarterback, right? So I'm going down the line here because I'm going to go with Jacoby Brissett for the Commanders. Obviously, you mentioned earlier Sam Howell, the young quarterback, second year in the league. So Jacoby had a great season with the Browns. He kind of held serve until Deshaun kind of got up to speed. So if Sam Howell kind of falters, you know, you do have him in the wings. I'm going to give a shout-out to our team, Nosh, Taylor Heinicke for the Falcons, right? This is a situation I know how much you love Taylor, Nosh. If Ritter has any hint or not doing well, Taylor's kind of there, and I think we learned last year from Marcus Mariota, you know, and Rob, probably what you're saying as far as Arthur Smith being on the hot seat, you have somebody that at least has competed, and he can come in and secure the position if Desmond Ritter struggles, and it's going to be a quicker hook for Desmond, honestly, I think. I got Gardner Minshew for the Colts. You know, same situation. You got Anthony Richardson kind of starting right now. If he does struggle, and he will because of the lack of a running game, Jonathan Taylor, Gardner Minshew would be the guy to kind of take the reins for that. Shout out to you, Gary. I've got Cooper Rush for the Cowboys as a good backup. He definitely held serve whenever Dak was there. We're just happy that he lost the last game so that there wasn't a quarterback controversy in Dallas. And kind of on the outside, I can't say Andy Dalton, Rob. There's no way I'm going to do that one. So, but it's interesting. And I'm crazy that I got to put Sam Darnold in this with the 49ers only because of the situation with Brock Purdy. If he struggles, at least they have somebody competent to back him up if he kind of falters. But we'll see what happens coming out the gate. That's what I got.
Yeah, I have some similar names here. Actually, one and two, I have the exact same. I have number one, Jacoby Brissett. I mean, he's been a serviceable backup for quite some time. He went 3-1 with the Patriots. He won some games with the Colts and the Browns. Obviously, not a top caliber starting quarterback in the league, but he's been able to come in and help his team to be real competitive. So I have Brissett at number one. I have Taylor Heinicke at number two as well. And the three through five is where we kind of differ. I have Teddy Bridgewater at number three. He's won a lot of games Even when Drew Brees got hurt, he went 5-0 with the Saints. He's won a lot of games in the backup role as well. He helped the Dolphins to win a few games last year as well with the two out. Gardner Minshew, I have a number 4. And then I have James Winston, number 5, obviously with his experience, has been a starting quarterback in the league for quite some time. So that's my top 5.
Well, I think that Darnold for the 49ers, he may get, depending on how Purdy goes, he may get himself some starts this year. I think he's more than capable of leading a team like that with their type of an offense. I've got him at 1. I've got Bridgewater. I always liked Bridgewater. I thought he was came in. And
where's he at?
Very, very serviceable. Lions.
He's with the Lions now. He's backing up
Jared
Goff.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And that's another team where I think that if something were to happen with the Lions, I don't think Bridgewater's that far off from Goff as far as that's concerned, in my opinion. And as I got the I got Winston at 3, and then I've got Minshew at 4, and then I put in Cooper Rush, the Cowboys at 5.
Naj, you got something? Or you want to talk about the Colorado? Your call, my guy.
No, I think you guys' lists are perfect, honestly. The only people I would add are probably Tyler Huntley in Baltimore and Jared Stidham in Denver. But, yeah, I like you guys' list. I think that's all the culprits right there.
Perfect.
Yeah, Tyrod Taylor was another one I thought was, like, somewhere close to. But, I think most of the guys we name are in that top 5, 6, 7, 8 range.
All right, here we go. We're going to let Naj have this because last week I wasn't on that, and I'm a fan of Colorado, but there was a lot of doubt with what's happening with Colorado and TCU. I mean, you had the runner-up, the person that was in the national championship. No one gave Colorado a chance. We talked about all the transfers that were all people that kicked out of the program. The media was just going just bonkers on Deion. You had an amazing performance by Shedeur Sanders. Travis Hunter is in the Heisman. He's playing offense and defense. He's entering the Heisman conversation. Nas, recap the win, man, and we're going to all go around the room about this, man. Go ahead.
Point spread was 21 points. So when Vegas gets it that wrong, we're talking about an anomaly. I don't think we're looking at the reality. TCU, Max Duggan's not walking in that door. Quentin Johnson's not walking in that door. They got a few guys on defense who graduated. That team did not look that good. Shout out to, I think his name is Lewis, the OC he got from Kent State. Their scheme was really, really good. Shedeur Sanders looks like an NFL quarterback, which was a surprise. I didn't think his game would translate as quickly as it did. And then just the portal. They took advantage of the portal situation, and they got a lot more talent at the skill positions than people expected, and they played really well. I still got the same questions about the O-line and D-line, but those questions weren't brought up in this game. Now, when they see USC and Oregon, I think we see a different thing. I think a lot of this celebration is premature. Great victory, but it's one victory, season game one. The fanfare that's around Deion right now, I expect it by year 2 or year 3 when he gets his guys in there and, you know, they're fully loaded, 4 and 5 stars everywhere, which I expect if he stays there, you know, at least 5 years, I expect him to do that and all that stuff to happen. But, boy, am I going to make some money on betting against them this year because there's a lot of people who are not only getting sold a dream by Prime because Prime's one of the greatest salesmen of all time. But Prime actually asked the seasoned NFL reporter Ed Warder, do you believe now? Dude, I'm a sports writer. It's not my job to believe in you. I cover the sport. That's it. I don't believe in the team. I'm not a fan. So, you know, shout out to Prime, man, and shout out to Jackson State for giving him the job opportunity when other people wouldn't because he didn't have coaching experience. And, you know, he's doing a beautiful thing out here within this raggedy system. But, is Coach Prime calling plays? Is Coach Prime scheming? No. So, shout out to him. He's similar to his godfather, the great Bobby Bowden, in that he brings in guys and he brings the collective together just by, you know, like cult of personality. Like, Deion is one of the most interesting people born in the past, you know, 50, 70 years. Like, he is all of that. You saw the pregame speech. So, yeah, I'll take the L on this one. I expected them to lose. They handled business in a shootout and prime TV, because even in the games that they lose, this year, they're still going to be compelling to watch because you want to see what Deion says afterwards. And offensively, they're fast-paced, and they run that spread. And Travis Hunter is, man. That kid is talented. So,
talented,
yeah, talented, man.
I'll take the L on this. Well, hey, Naj, I mean, I predicted TCU to win the game too. So I didn't see this coming. And, hey, the thing that I was concerned about for Colorado going into this game was, as you mentioned, their offensive and defensive line, right? We knew they had talent in the back end of their defense. We knew they had talent in skill positions. And you mentioned it, the offensive coordinator did a phenomenal job. And you got to give Shadir Sanders a lot of credit. I mean, that ball was coming out quick. He had quick reads. He did a phenomenal job at the quarterback position. I haven't done any mocks since the game this past weekend. But I know there are some draft experts that have already moved him up at least into a second-round pick already after that game. I mean, they were really impressed with the way he moved his eyes around the field. You saw. The ball was coming out quick. And that's what you got to do when you got deficiencies on the offensive line. I mean, you got to make those quick reads and get the ball out, and he did a phenomenal job. And obviously, Deion is invested in his son. I mean, he's got a lot of work with Tom Brady, the off season. He's been with the Manning Passing Academy. So, I mean, he's putting them in the right situations to learn and to be successful. And, Scott Pioli, and I'm sure you guys know who Scott Pioli is. He's, has been a great general manager for the Chiefs and the Patriots. I think he even worked with the Falcons for a little bit. And, I thought he had a great assessment of Deion Sanders. He said, look, the NFL is taking notice on Deion. And what you want your head coach to be as a CEO, you don't have to call all the plays. You got to be a great motivator. You got to be able to bring your team together. And you got to make sure that your coaches are coaching these two guys up and being ready to play. And, hey, the NFL is taking notes. He is being a CEO of his organization. He did it at Jackson State. And, I mean, it's only one game in Colorado, so we only got a small sample size so far. But, hey, the NFL has taken notice of his ability to lead in leading organizations. So, you got to give him credit. He's not the X's and O guy, not the guy calling the plays, but he is the CEO of his organization.
And that's what a head coach does. You have an offensive coordinator, you have a defensive coordinator, you have special teams coordinators, so – absolutely. He's brought in the people around him. I did not pick Colorado to win this game either. I don't think any of us did. I think Naj was most critical of him, but we all had the same outcome going out there. I do like the fact that he stood up there and he called out a guy that maybe got under his skin on something he said, Do you believe? Do you believe now? If I were that guy and, in week two, they lose to Nebraska, I think they're playing Nebraska, I would stand up and say, yes, Deion, no, I do not believe yet.
And Gary, that was your guy, Ed Warder, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to put a bow on everything. It was an interesting game because I was traveling and I had a chance to kind of catch it on the replay. And I think we all have said a lot of interesting things. And if you're Colorado, this is a great start for Deion, right? Because You have a lot of that momentum come out the gate. We'll see what happens with Nebraska. And again, whenever you face those more talented teams with better defensive lines and offensive lines that we talked about, this is where we're going to run some challenges. But you got to give credit to Deion. I mean, again, he's definitely a motivational. He's a pitchman. He's all those things too. But you have to know how to manipulate and put all the people in position to be successful too. So you got to give him some flowers as far as what he's doing. No one kind of likes me. He's kind of he has the mentality of me against the world, right? You know. So again, if you give him resources, you kind of see what he's able to do. And like you said, Rob, I agree. The NFL is taking a quick peek because after that fiasco with Jeff Saturday getting the job, it's like, why the hell can't Deion get a job, man? You know. But they're making him go through the traditional route and prove that he can coach. And you know, like I said, he knows how to motivate guys, man. So that's one thing. My pipe dream was him coming to Georgia Tech, which didn't happen, but still at the end of the day, you're like, man, that dude can coach, man. So that's he knows how to put people in position to be successful. So that's what you need for a program. So I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah, well, his absolutely. And then Travis. Yeah. And you guys talking about Travis Hunter, man, the number of plays that guy played between offense and defense was insane. Wow. Can he continue to do that all season? We have to wait and see if he can continue to do that. I mean, that's a lot of wear and tear on one player's body. But after 1 week, man, you got to say he's in the Heisman conversation. And so is Shadir Sanders. Now, it's 1 week, it's a small sample size. I like them against Nebraska. They're back at home. I know Matt Rhule, I think he's going to turn around that Nebraska program. They're going to be competitive. I don't think they're ready yet. I don't think Nebraska has enough offensively to compete with Colorado. And, hey, let's face it, man. I mean, Colorado, I mean, did any one of us watch one of their games last year? Now the whole nation is buzzing about watching this. I mean, Fox promoted that game like it was a 1-2 matchup this past weekend. The number of promos I saw on TV last week prior to that game, and I was like, wow, this is an unranked team against a 17th-ranked TCU. but it lived up to the billing, right? I mean, so credit Fox for what they did, getting a lot of attention on that game.
Yeah, dude, that stadium is going to be electric at Nebraska, and Nebraska is not good. So that's your, you know, roll well for them. But ultimately, Deion is kind of playing the Floyd Mayweather game to where there's going to be a lot of his supporters who watch and follow because they want to see him succeed. There's going to be a lot of people who watch who want to see him fall on his face. And let's not, again, I don't want to dismiss this as an aside. There are a lot of coaches who want him to look bad because the precedent of a Pro Bowl player jumping the line and getting a head job without being an assistant or, you know, going up the ranks, they don't want any parts of that. So there's a lot of coaches who want to run the score up on him. So, yeah, we're going to see.
Yep. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize the music at the end of our live portion on tonight. We're going to be back at you live on next week. That's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We want to hear from our people on the East Coast, from Philadelphia all the way down to Miami, and then the Central Time Zone, 10 p.m. Central for Chicago and Notre Dame lovers, and then also Mountain Time Zone, 9 p.m. Denver. We want to hear from y'all from Sean Payton turning around, and on the West Coast, Fresno. Went on the road and beat Purdue. Want to hear from y'all out in Fresno, California, 8 p.m. Pacific time the next week. We're going to have a brief OT portion, so you can click on the same link to get the rest of the show on tomorrow. You don't want to miss it. Good night, people.
This is for JQ. You got to say, go Chargers. But just a little FYI. I actually will be in California next week, so I'm going to be flying out there. I got a DJ wedding on that Friday, so I'm going to be in Cali flying out on Monday. So, you know, whenever we do the show, hopefully I'll be in the same time zone. I may be sleepy, but it'll be fun, man. So we're going to keep this going as well. So I will be on the West Coast to do some analysis and see what happens on the 49ers and what's happening on that as well. As we get ready to have the brief OT portion, I do want to piggyback the last thing. I know, Gary, you had a comment about Colorado, but the last time, Rob, that we had this buzz was ironically whenever Colorado had who? You know, Eric Bieniemy, Cordell Stewart. I mean, remember these impressive names that we had back in the day for Colorado?
Yep.
and they were just that good. And we haven't
Michael
heard
Westbrook.
People them since then. It feels like, yeah. And it's like, man, they are officially putting them back on the map. Good job to Deion.
They won a national championship.
Like you said.
Did they share a national championship with Georgia Tech?
And the Georgia
name?
Tech.
Yeah.
That's right. That is correct. Mm-hmm. That's right. We're the co-champions, man. So that's whenever mm-hmm. that goes how far back. And that's an interesting piece of history, too, man. But anyway, I digress, man. Gary, did you have something to say about Colorado, man? I know you didn't get a chance to do your thoughts on that, sir.
No, I mean, I think we were all surprised, pleasantly surprised. And, you know, maybe this is going to be the new style as Deion goes through his coaching career. This isn't his last stop. At some point, I can see him coaching in the NFL.
Gotcha. Yeah, maybe that works. Does he want to go there, Florida State? That's what we got to figure out, man, for sure. So he has some options as far as if he's the guy. Go ahead.
The way Florida State's playing with Mike Norvell, he may not have opportunity to go to Florida State. So the NFL might be either a bigger program in college football or the NFL, if he continues down this road. Now, like I said, we may be getting ahead of ourselves with just this one victory, but if he continues on this path, yeah, you know a bigger program is going to come calling or an NFL job. There's no doubt about it.
Right, and with Deion, remember, the spectacle never leaves. So even if they're bad, people are going to tune in to watch that part too, to watch mm-hmm. the implosion,
yeah.
the car crash. So good mm-hmm. or bad, it doesn't matter. He's box office. So when they have a Big 12 game against Colorado State and it's in prime time, you know why.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. I'm going to do this last thing before we do the OT again. You guys can pick your topic. You were talking about this, I don't know if it was you, Gary, or talking about how you put together your staff, right? Because, again, we see the remnants of this because Dabo Swinney is definitely not surviving after losing a lot of his staff, right? Losing Brett Venables, losing a lot of his offensive coordinator. Like, he literally, the way that Clemson looked last night, it was just showing that he is not ready. You can't lose people on his staff just yet. And the same thing kind of sort of happened with Bobby Bowden at Florida State whenever he lost, Chuck Amata. He lost Mark Richt. He wasn't able to kind of recoup that as well. Whenever you have the top head coaches like Nick Saban that, loses people, and they just still continue to perform well. So some guys are able to handle situations where top assistants go and, you just kind of keep it going, man. So, again, I know it's early for Colorado. I like how I kind of tied it in. But right now, you can kind of manipulate and kind of get with assistance and kind of move things in. You're doing the right thing. So that's all I'm going to say for my other two portions. So you guys can pick a topic and kind of go from there.
Oh, I'm just going to enjoy Dabo's downfall. That's all I'll say on that.
Yeah,
it was beautiful to see Clemsoning. Once again.
Yep. And hey, I think you guys know how I feel about Duke. I know we did some pre-draft coverage, and, I mentioned Riley Leonard, being one of the top five quarterbacks going into the draft next year, possibly, right? And he delivered on the other night, too. He's extremely athletic. He's got a strong arm. You saw the ball coming out quick with him as well. And he don't have, the weapons that Sanders has in Colorado, but you still can see the NFL potential with Riley Leonard at Duke, even though I'm not a Duke fan. But, I'm just talking from an NFL draft perspective. You can see where he is. And, he can run. He can throw it. He's got a rocket for him. He's got size. He's about 6'4" as well. And his professor didn't give him an extension on his report, which was funny. Professor told the other players
the
on the team got it done.
But you threw the point. Everyone else got it done, but you didn't, man. So you're trying to get over, man. So again, that was a good move by the professor. He's got to keep it normal. But yeah, I like it. Right?
Yeah, and you make a good point about Clemson and their assistant coaches. And Andre and I was at the Clemson Notre Dame game last year in South Bend in November, and DJ. And please forgive me if I mispronounce his last name, Ugunleye, he looked awful. He looked awful most of his first 2 years in Clemson. And now he goes to Oregon State, getting better coaching offensively. Man, he looked like a totally different quarterback. Now, I was against San Jose State, but he wasn't even looking that good against Mercer when he was at Clemson. So, I mean, you saw a completely different quarterback this past Sunday for Oregon State, you know, transferring out there. Yeah. He looked pretty good. This is a kid that was highly recruited out of high school, five-star quarterback. He never looked that good at Clemson. And if you guys remember what I texted you guys another night, now the quarterback, Klavnik, who was quarterback Clemson, another five-star recruit, and he's not looking good. So you have to wonder, is Clemson getting the right coaching from a quarterback perspective, from an offensive perspective here these last few years? Now you see DJ Ugunleye go to Oregon State, and he looks totally different. So that was just an observation that I had, regarding Clemson, in their quarterback play. But as far as the topic I'll take on, I'll just make a prediction on the rest of the college games we got here. Even though I got my Tulane gear on, Ole Miss at Tulane, I'm going to predict Ole Miss to win here, but I think Tulane keeps it competitive. I know Tulane beat USC in the Cotton Bowl last year. And Tulane's got a very underrated quarterback, Michael Pratt, who's going to get drafted as well in this draft. But I think Ole Miss probably have a little bit too much talent for him. And I'm going to go 37-30, Ole Miss at Tulane on the road. And then the big one, Saturday night, 11-ranked Texas and number 3 Alabama. Dylan Milroe is obviously playing against Tennessee State. He looked fairly good for Alabama, running and throwing it this past weekend, and that was a big question for Alabama coming into the season. What are they going to have at the quarterback position? I'm not sure if there's still an answer. I mean, that was against Middle Tennessee State, but I'm going to pick Texas. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm picking Alabama at home. And
picking Texas.
I'm going to go 23-20 Alabama. Now, I want Texas to win. Don't get me wrong. and Quinn Ewers is supposed to be the better quarterback here for Texas, but Alabama still has a better overall roster, and they're at home. So I'm going to pick them with a field goal, 23-20.
Mitch
does
not walk through that door.
I really want the college football picks as well, so I'm going to do mine too. Of course, I'm going with Colorado over Nebraska. I am going to go with Tulane at home. I believe they're at home, right? Over Ole Miss. Yeah, I see that. And I'm going to go with Alabama at home. I'm not going to predict any of the scores. The only one that I think that is going to be close is the last one, the Texas-Alabama game. And that's just for where these programs are at this time of the season. And do they have a quarterback? And I think Alabama's going to do just enough to get the job done, maybe 2017 or something like that.
Good stuff. Nas, you want to say anything, my guy? Anything you want to talk about, man, as we wrap this up?
Yeah, so Bama is back. I think they roll Texas. I think we get a surprise in that game. We'll see. Riley Leonard, like Rob talked about, like, look, man, go look up his basketball highlights. That kid is a next-level athlete. And
he's
not doing that only because of his football talent, but that kid looked like any five-star wing athlete you could imagine as far as basketball. I mean, he's dunking on people like it's cartoonish, NBA 2K-ish.
Wow.
As far as Clemson, Dabo Swinney deserves this. He's a terrible person. He said terrible things about his student-athletes and the players that play for him. And I'm glad to see this downfall. I'm going to watch this all season. And we got NFL Week 1. Remember, what's my man's name from Tampa years ago with the chains? Ryan, I can't remember his last name anymore. That's how quick NFL careers die. He threw for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns in Week 1 year. We don't know
anything. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick, thank you. Fitzmagic.
That's where that name came from. We don't know anything for week one, so expect the unexpected. Bet on all types of ridiculous small bets that shouldn't pay out, but they might just because week one is so erratic. And just understand that we don't know it all. That's how it's going to roll for week one, the same as every year for week one.
Good stuff. Hey, Naj, so we started out the show with a few predictions, and we had the Lions at the Chiefs. So we had Rob picking the Lions for a mild upset. Myself and Gary picked the Chiefs. What say you as far as coming out the gate whenever, you know, we talked about, you know, obviously Travis Kelce, but what say you? It is at Arrowhead. It's a 6.5, you know, the Chiefs are the favorites, but what say you on this game? What would you say?
Man, I was fully ready to say Pat Mahomes is the Michael Jordan of football, so I never bet against him. But then you said 6.5, and I'm like, oh, that's a lot of points for a team without Travis Kelce. Yeah, I might have to take that 6.5, man. That is a lot, dude. But I expect Mahomes to get it done and win the game. But give me that 6.5.
Okay. Good stuff. We were kind of thinking about that, too, because those are the games that were kind of, you know, like you said, it is week one. You know, the 49ers and Steelers, again, this is a kind of interesting game, too. And then we talked about the Patriots should get rolled by the Eagles. And then we talked about you came in on the Dolphins and the Chargers. But, yeah, man, that's the other game that we'll have to take a peek at. You know, the Dolphins and the Chargers are going to be a exciting game for the hot seat with Brandon Staley. But 49ers or Steelers, that'll be interesting to see what's coming out the gate with Purdy and everything like that, too. And your boy signing a $170 million deal, man, Bosa, you know. So good for him, man. So there you go. All right, gentlemen, anything else before we wrap this? Go ahead.
NFL math is amazing. A pass rusher is worth $1 billion. A running back is worth 50 cents. Like, how does this even make sense? It doesn't. You could do the running backs what you do to every position. You could just devalue it and say, well, you're just getting athletes to play that. Like, you could do that to every position. So all that tells me is the NFL is ridiculous. And the whole copycat league is the realest thing the NFL ever said.
Yep. Hey, the only thing we have to do for all of those parents out there that have young kids and want to play football, hey, don't be ashamed if they want to be a left tackle or a right tackle or a defensive end or a nose tackle, right?
Yep.
Because they're going to make more money than running back. So, you know, growing up, you wanted your kid to be the quarterback or the running back, right? But, hey, if they want to be a left tackle, let them be a left tackle. They're going to make a lot of money.
That is crazy how running back was grown.
If you have to.
Yeah, you're right, Gary. It's crazy how back in the day running back was like the star position, right? You can be, you know, you were like Adrian Peterson,
yeah.
You can come in like Tony Dorsett. It was like if you had Kemet Smith, if you had a good running back, you were like, yo, the running game was that strong. And it's just crazy how this has evolved so quickly, man. So I do hope that it does kind of
artificially evolve. We got that. Because remember, the passing league that we see now is based on rule changes. It didn't organically happen. We all of a sudden, hey,
right.
You can't touch the quarterback, can't do this, can't do that. Like, this didn't organically happen. And you know, and I know I'm running long. But lastly, all I'm going to say is this. If you have to pay a tight end, you telling me somebody couldn't make a compelling argument on the other side for saying, well, we just need to go get every small school basketball power forward and train them up to play tight end and get them for the minimum set. Like, you can do that to every position that you do in the running back, man.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this, and it's crazy because whenever we were kind of looking at the Wildcat, remember that was kind of like, you know, that's the only kind of saving grace whenever we had that whole switch of like, hey, we have the Wildcat position. And
right.
That could kind of save running backs if you're kind of running back slash quarterback, but that would be a whole other kind of evolution of the game, Naj, man. So if you had a situation where the reason why you can't touch quarterbacks is because they were paid so much, right? So it's like, hey, let's just do Wildcat and run. You know, you got 11 guys account for that. That'll probably change the league too, man. So they're not looking at
this.
That's going to be a
dude,
game changer.
This is swung way too far. This is swung way too far the other way. Average two down running back, yeah, you don't pay them. I get it. But if you're a three-down back and you get 60 passes, 70 passes a year,
on top of being a runner, like, come on, man. That still has its intrinsic value. And these people saying it doesn't, go in the fantasy league and draft with them and see how they draft, because they know its value there, too.
There it is. All right, gentlemen, get some rest. We appreciate you guys. We'll see you same time, same channel next week. I'll be in Cali, but we'll keep it going, gentlemen. Have a fun time. Naj, again,
Rob,
always calling in. We appreciate your input.
I'll be on the East Coast this next week, probably the 11th, 12th, and 13th.
Mm.
So I'll get a hold of you. Will you be back by then, Andre? Will you be back on the...
No, I'll be back on Saturday, unfortunately. So we'll have to reset, man. So, but yeah, how long are you going to be there for a couple of days?
Just a couple of days. I got to go down and take care of some stuff with the house, you know.
Gotcha. We'll try to coordinate.
Well, just know, Gary, when you get there, the whole East Coast smells like marijuana. They're smoking out in the street openly with no worries. It is crazy.
He should be used to that in Oregon.
Not true.
Oh yeah.
All right, gentlemen. Have a great rest of your day.
It's
legal, man. Come on.
y'all
are cracking me up. We'll see you guys same time, same channel next week.
All right,
Josh. Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Later.
Peace.